A Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, Yasmin Yonkers, and Ryan Huang. Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Our next guest is our hot seat guest, and we adore having this gentleman on the show. Back in May, he came on to talk with us about cybersecurity. This time, the conversation will be about the usage of AI, machine intelligence, edge of things in the industrial transformation landscape. Our guest is Richard Koh, the Chief Technology Officer of Microsoft Singapore. Good morning, Richard. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning, Yasmin. Thanks for having me back here again.
So, Richard, you were one of the speakers at the Industrial Transformation Asia Pacific event, or ITAP, which was specially curated for our region as it ushers the fourth industrial revolution. What was your biggest takeaway from that event?
Well, at the event itself, the Industrial Transformation Asia Pacific, I think there was a broad realization that the fourth industrial revolution is upon us. And what we see is that this fusion of the physical world and the digital world coming together. So a lot of the conversations were around how do you take advantage of this opportunity to bring that physical world and digital world together and really think about what the physical world is generating in terms of data, how do you collect that, and then how do you make sense of that, reason over that data, and then use things like capabilities like artificial intelligence to be able to, you know, get predictions in a much better way for you to predict, let's say, machine predictive maintenance, things like that. So I think it was really exciting. When I walked the shop floor, I saw a lot of different exhibitors just putting out new solutions that shows how all of these come together, which is really, really cool.
Richard, I'd like to get your opinion on something. At the start of all this talk about the fourth industrial revolution, which was some time ago, people kept saying, oh, it's going to cause people to lose jobs. And then came a lot of discussions, a lot of seminars. Has that sentiment changed? How are people viewing the fourth industrial revolution now with regard to jobs?
Yeah, so I think just take a step back away from jobs for a moment.
Okay.
I think the discussions that were happening, those were great, because what it did was that it brought a lot more awareness about the opportunities that are coming about with this fourth industrial revolution itself. So, and when this discussion starts to happen, people start to look at, hey, what are the kind of new skills, new knowledge that I can gain? And if people kind of adopt this learn-it-all culture itself, and we are a big proponent of it here at Microsoft, people started to say, hey, I'm curious. I want to learn about it. What are some of the tools and opportunities out there I can learn? And when they start to see and put solutions together, they say, oh, this is great. It's going to help me do my job a little bit better. The job content might be different.
Sure.
Some tasks might be automated. Some tasks might be outsourced or something like that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that jobs has to go away. Mm-hmm. It just means that a lot of the tasks can potentially be more productive through the use of digital technologies itself. So I think one thing is that having these conversations earlier on, just like you mentioned, Elliot, is that it brought a higher level awareness and the curiosity itself. And then when people dig in and see, hey, there are opportunities to even create new jobs or new tasks, things like that, there is a net increase in the way that we do things and how we conduct business.
Richard, as the head honcho of technology at Microsoft, can you help us detail some projects or initiatives that you have to actually help develop the industrial transformation landscape? Go into a bit more detail.
Oh, a little bit about ourselves? Yeah. So this is a great, great space for us at Microsoft. And when we think about how the world is going to change, we call this a new world of the intelligent cloud and the intelligent edge itself.
Sure.
And what that means is that the intelligent edge is that interface between the intelligent cloud and the real physical world. So what that means is that what we're trying to do is bring solution at the edge. For example, things like the Azure Digital Twins, our Microsoft service itself, and things like Azure Sphere. So these are microcontroller units that we're shipping.
That's spelled A-Z-U-R-E, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes. And these are edge devices or microcontroller units that helps manufacturers or device manufacturers to be able to securely collect data, make sense of that, maybe create personalized services for their customers as they put equipments out there in the field or in far-flung places, things like that. So I think we have put like $5 billion of investments into this space, and it's a huge, huge opportunity for us to expand the way the physical world can interact with the intelligent cloud itself. So I think it's a huge opportunity for us, and we are definitely gunning for this space in a lot of many different ways.
We're speaking with Richard Koh, CTO of Microsoft Singapore, our guest in the hot seat this morning. We talked earlier about how this whole fourth industrial revolution has created jobs, created opportunities, instead of take it away. That's only if you seize the opportunity to learn. Now, our Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong has said that ASEAN is in a good position to seize the opportunities of the fourth industrial revolution. Could you tell us why and how ASEAN is in a good position?
Yeah, I think PM Lee definitely lays it out very well, because what he looked at was across ASEAN, there's a, first of all, 60% of the population is under 35. And when you think about that, just the size of the population itself, with that, these are the people that are very familiar with digital technology, they're very comfortable. So that's great, because when they kind of moved into the workforce itself, these technologies, when it's set upon them, they feel very comfortable. They try to exploit ways on how to use this better in their jobs itself. So that's one thing. But across ASEAN, and this desire to collaborate, to break down barriers in terms of whether is it trade, whether is it learnings, share best practices, I think those kind of platforms allows the countries to work closer together and even share technologies, how we can do things perhaps better in certain ways and in the factories, for example. So I think when we think about the position and, you know, ASEAN is going to be the fourth largest, I guess, trading bloc or GDP in the world, just behind US, China, and the EU. That's a huge amount of potential. And I'm just really excited by the young population that's here in the ASEAN bloc itself. And I think the future looks bright for us.
AKA, it's a good time to be in ASEAN.
It is a good time to be in ASEAN, yeah. We just need to make more babies here in Singapore, I think, right, to add to that excitement. What is the state of Internet of Things in the manufacturing industry today, Richard? And how can it be utilized to accelerate industrial transformation?
Yeah, so in this particular space itself, what we see is that now manufacturers or factory operators or industrial equipment providers, they are looking for opportunities to see how the data that's being generated by these machines that's out there and aggregate them and connect the dots, if you will. So I think in the past, it used to be like siloed machines that was placed out there. And it was harder to kind of connect the dots and say, hey, should I think about sending my service engineer down when something breaks down? How do I get that data? How do I connect back to my, let's say, service engineer applications, if you will, to then do the predictive maintenance when it happens. So when you look at the Internet of Things itself, it's got to be smart. Over at the edge, at the intelligent edge itself, when you have the ability to collect the data and then reason over that, aggregate them securely, safely, and apply good data analytics across that, then you have the opportunity to say, okay, what should I do better with this information right now? And if there are predictions that are coming, how can I take actions on that in a very predictive manner rather than a reactive manner?
Richard, when we left off, we were talking about the Internet of Things, and you mentioned getting to the intelligent edge. The intelligent edge is edge of things, right? Just to clarify.
Yeah, so it's kind of one and all of the same thing. But I think at Microsoft, we want to ensure that the edge is not just devices or cameras or washing machines, if you will. We want them to be intelligent. We want them to be secure.
But how's that different from like IoT or even the COT?
Yeah, so it's one in the same thing, if you will.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And the thing is this, the advancement in some of these edge devices is really amazing.
Okay.
And now you have the ability, like for us at Microsoft, we can think about putting machine learning models at the edge of cameras, for example, for detecting, let's say, policy violations in a factory when equipment falls. The machine learning model detects that and says, okay, there's a violation that happened. Let's alert the workplace supervisor to take care of something like that. So now the edge devices has become a lot more intelligent without just a dumb camera, if you will.
So would you say then edge of devices really is all about moving towards this whole Smart Nation initiative?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have a great initiative here in Singapore around going towards the Smart Nation vision itself. And the way we think about it is that, you know, first of all, it's not just about the devices and the cameras that's out there and all of that, but it's also about the knowledge and the skills part of it. So we did this partnership together with AI Singapore out of NUS. to say, how do we bring basic AI knowledge to 10,000 people out there and then professionals out there that's working in this space? Because now the edge of things, or the intelligent edge, has a lot more sophistication. And to think about how do you apply that skills and that knowledge to operate, to upgrade, to work with this intelligent edge, it's going to be crucial. And it helps in many ways towards our Smart Nation vision.
Mm. We're chatting with the Chief Technology Officer of Microsoft Singapore, Richard Koh. So in your consultations with organizations and corporations, what are the common barriers you find faced by them when it comes to industrial transformation?
That's a great question, Yasmin. I think a lot of times when I talk to the C-suite in our customers, in our partners, one of the key constraints that they face, it's really around the lack of skills or resources. And I think that comes back to the point I made earlier. How do we bring that skills and knowledge out to the general public, but also to the resources at the organization itself, like bringing AI knowledge? Like, for example, we set up aischool.microsoft.com, and you know, people can actually go there and learn about some basic AI skills and technologies that is associated in this space. Now, the other part of it, some of the other barriers will be around cybersecurity, for example. Okay. There's a huge concern there on, hey, if I put smart devices out there, it's connected to the internet, is it going to be hacked? Is it going to be compromised? Is it going to be assembled into a botnet or something like that? So we have a lot of innovation in this space, like, for example, Azure Sphere, which is a microcontroller unit that we shipped earlier this year. And this can be embedded into devices, a high level of security. And the way it works is that it connects these devices back into our intelligent cloud, Microsoft Azure,
okay,
and helps to protect and put a stronger stance around cybersecurity in that sense. Mm-hmm. And I think the last barrier, if I may just elaborate a little bit, is perhaps some of the culture, if you will, at organizations.
Okay.
So there could be silo teams just working on little projects by themselves, or there might be some resistance as well, because some of these digital technologies can be disruptive, can change the way jobs are being performed. So I think those are the three barriers that we have seen, or I have seen in those conversations that I have with the organization itself.
Thank you for the insight.
Mm. Richard, I like how you highlighted so many partnerships and partnerships potential. If you could put on a balancing scale, which is more crucial to the other in this sense, Industry 4.0 being about technology, or how important is partnerships with regard to that?
Great question, Elliot. You know what? The way I think about it is that you got to have both. It's not just about the technology. At the end of the day, at Microsoft, we want to put the human at the center of everything.
Right.
Whether is it a factory worker, whether is it a shop floor supervisor, or the plant operation manager, how do we use technologies that we talked about at the Industrial Revolution 4.0 to augment their capabilities, to extend their capabilities, to let them do their job a little bit better? But also at the same time, when you think about the opportunities that these technologies bring, it has potential to transform business models as well. So I think it's a mix of both partnerships as well as the technologies. All of that's got to come together. And then it's with this mix that actually a lot of organizations can find opportunities, whether is it to, you know, change their business model, optimize their operations, or maybe empower their employees down on the shop floor to do more, achieve more. So I think that's a very, very key thing when we think about the whole entire landscape.
All right. Let's get a little more personal right now, Richard. Okay. I want to ask you something about your background, because you're one of the pioneer Singaporeans who really started your career in Silicon Valley, came back here to Singapore, and you know, now you're with Microsoft. Tell us, in the time that you were in Silicon Valley, in your time with early Microsoft, did you meet Paul Allen, who's your co-founder of the mother company who just passed? And what are your thoughts on his passing so young?
Unfortunately, no. I didn't have the opportunity to meet with Paul. But, you know, Paul and Bill, they are all very, very smart people. And it's such a great company that they have built over these years. You know, we're 43 years old right now. So we're not a very young tech company. But the transformation that has happened at Microsoft is really tremendous. And being there in Redmond and now here in Singapore, I can see the change. And our new CEO, Satya Nadella, has really brought about this change. And I think it's a continuation of that legacy that Paul and Bill has left behind on really how do we think about bringing bringing technology and empowering every person and every organization to achieve more.
And then, you know, Elliot, last Christmas, you missed the Microsoft Christmas party
yeah.
where we had a nice chat with Richard. He was so hospitable. And then you told me about bringing up your kids over in the United States, bringing them back here to Singapore. As the chief technology officer, somebody who dabbles a lot in tech, how do you prepare your kids, really? And I think a lot of Singaporeans are listening and wanting to know this. For 4.0, how do you prepare them?
I think it's all about giving them the space to be curious and to learn. And what I do with them is to make sure that whenever they encounter something, let's have a discussion about that. Why did you experience that? What do you think can be better? And when you give them the space to be curious and experiment, yes, they will make mistakes here and there. And we have to accept that as parents. But one of the things is that when they're curious, they feel the space to be able to experiment with some technology here. Let's say, for example, my kids love to play on the Xbox, obviously.
Oh, that's
so nice. So, but you know, there's one thing about playing, you know, live on the internet with a lot of different players that's online. So I kind of like, okay, there's going to be other people that's playing, and these are strangers too. So you have to be aware that these are strangers. These are not necessarily your friends. So you got to be careful about sharing information about yourself, where you live, your name, things like that. So I think it's a constant engagement right now. I think it's a little bit different in terms of parenting in the past. Now you really have to be engaged with your kids. And at the same time, watch their online habits. What are they doing on social media or gaming platforms or things like that? So I think when I want to encourage parents to really like let the kids experiment a bit, but watch them really closely, because what happens online is not necessarily visible to you. So you got to have a close watch.
Quick final question for you, Richard. If my father was the chief technology officer of Microsoft, he can fix the wireless internet at home. Are you Mr. Fix-It at home? Especially when the router goes down.
I'm the IT support at home. I'm the IT support for my mom and my dad.
Well, thank you so much for coming by the studio.
You were spot on there, Elliot Danker.
Thank you for having me.
Richard Koh, CTO of Microsoft Singapore, in the hot seat this morning.